15 to 20 million jobs.
That
I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to our edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. I'm really, really very pleased that you remember to tune in, and I'm going to ask that you go to your phone, go to your email, text a family or friend, and invite them to tune in for another edition of American Workers Radio. As you know, we serve the actual radio audience in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. However, people can tune in from anywhere in the USA simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and then clicking on the Listen Live link. And also, I get a lot of Saturday people who tune in at 11 to the broadcast from American Workers Radio, and I want to give them a special welcome and thank you for letting me know that you tuned in. Today, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, lots and lots of things, and I want everybody to be blunt, but very positive, because we happen to be one of the more positive voices in the whole USA. Everybody is out there looking for the negativity end of it. Here we are trying to promote jobs and businesses and everything that's going to help us to maintain America and have it grow, get our skills back and everything else. Our panel members, I'd like to say a very big thank you to them. Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. His link is right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Just click on that. You'll see what Mark has available. And also what you'll be able to do is order and he'll have it shipped to you. We also have with us on a regular basis Larkin Conley. And of course, he is the National Small Business Advocate. He will be with us on the second half of today's broadcast. And Rich Logis, another person who is not afraid to speak his mind. And that's what I like. And you know, sometimes we have to be rough. In fact, sometimes we've been too nice. We've been too laid back in this country. We didn't speak and say the things that we should have said, and we had major problems as a result of it. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, and I have greetings today, once again, from Curtis Ellis, who is always with the America First Project, doing a great job. Thank you, Curtis, for all of your promotions. We certainly appreciate what you do for the American people and for businesses. And here we are, 9 days away from Christmas, and I want to say thanks to every one of you that's helping America's businesses and seeking out American-made products as often as possible. I really tell you, it's not as easy as it was 25, 30 years ago, and we should talk more about that. And I think 2021 is going to have to be a year to really lay it on the table and no bull whatsoever. As I said, I know that Mark Andel and the Made in America store offer 100% American-made products, and I'm encouraging you again to go to his internet site, see what he has to get for you. He'll ship it out to you, and of course, you'll give it as a gift for Christmas, New Year's, you know, whatever you need it. The American-made store is there to Made in America store is always there to give you Made in America products. Well, December 2020 was our first attempt to promote December as National Small Business Month. As you know, traditionally, we've always been promoting National Small Business Weekend, the first weekend of every month. First weekend of December was always included. But after talking with a lot of the businesses, especially during the coronavirus, as you know, which originated in China, and all the devastation it's caused, we decided that we would devote the entire month of December to supporting small businesses here in the USA. However, many people are, you know, out there doing their thing. But it's a good thing now because people that are going out to celebrate, events like Christmas and Hanukkah and things like that, everybody seems to be talking about what is going on. I'm looking at all these products and it seems that I'm living in a foreign country. And I had a very good situation happen to me this week. A man and his high school age son stopped me and they said, Michael, I'm going to ask you a question. They're listeners of our radio, Saturday and Wednesday, and said to me, do you think we're living in China or another foreign country? I said, no, we're proudly living in America. And they said, well, Michael, the labels on the majority of items available to most of your listeners, to most Americans, represent foreign-made suppliers, foreign-made products. And now that you really take a look at it, before when you were just going into the stores to pick up things that you needed immediately, you started to look and you said, ooh, it's foreign made. I'm concerned. Maybe I should look around. However, as people are going into the stores, they're beginning to look at all products, whether they want it or need it or not. They're starting to look and they're saying, what the hell is going on in this country? How did this happen to us? It's always great to hear from people, and especially from a dad who was very concerned about the future employment opportunities of his son and his family, his friends, his neighbors. That's what it's really all about. So my appeal before I go to our great panel members is, as you're out shopping during this holiday season, take a close look at the labels, because America's young people certainly need jobs, they need careers, and there's no reason for any of us to go to a store and not be able to find 50% of everything on the hangers, on the shelves, whatever, that is not made in America. It's almost insane that it went to this level. And it's because many people, majority of them in Washington, D.C., over the last 35 years, did very little to stop it. It was, oh, we're a free market economy. Great. Well, we freed ourselves, and now we're not part of the general marketplace. We are strictly salespeople for some other country's products. Now, I just want to say one more thing. To help us promote December as Small Business Month, there's a nice poster that's on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, or you can go to NationalSmallBusinessMonth.com and click on the poster, print it out. It's a beautiful poster, and you can give it to a store person. It's in color, really something that anybody would want to put up in their window, cash register, door, because it's promoting. And most of the small businesses would like to know that you're a small business promoter and that you are coming around mainly to make sure that they are staying there. Can any of us imagine not having our local stores there to help us? It doesn't make sense. People say, oh my God, it's just impossible to believe. And I want to note that a lot of the large stores and major chains don't want any effort like this to continue. They don't like National Small Business Weekend. They don't like the Buy American Made campaign. They don't like the Made in America store. They definitely don't like Small Business Month. They want to be the big cheese. And so to be the big cheese, you have to step on everybody that in the process. Also, as they say, the big fish always eats the little fish. It's very rare that the little fish eats the big fish. So big stores are certainly not interested in any campaign to help American workers, small and local businesses, because it takes away from their main place in the shopping area. They want you to go to the big places, park your car, just go in, and the hustle and bustle, you forget all about what you're, you know, doing, just buying and running out. But in the process, you're really not helping America, America's economy, and definitely not the future of American workers. So with that all in mind, I'm going to turn to Mark Andel first today. Mark, How is everything going with the Made in America store? Tell us today, and don't hold back on anything.
How you doing, Mike and Rich? And I know Larkin's going to join us. Henry, thank you for making us sound good. Mike, this has been the crazy year, of course, the year of change, and if you don't change, you're going to die. We've been adjusting to this. This is the 40th week since the shutdowns began and the pandemic, the China COVID-19 crisis started, but 9 shipping days, or shopping days left, I should say, of the 28-day run, Mike. So retail-wise, the Made in America movement is very alive. Our store, we have 3 open. The one by Niagara Falls we closed, and they are doing very well. People are really doing their part. I've got to give it to them. MadeInAmerica.com, our website, really just huge growth, Mike, which has saved us cash flow-wise because we've lost the bus leg, the fairs, the shows at General Welding, our oil and mining. Work has dried up because nothing's running, really, if you think about 20% of the planes and the buses not running, the fuel and the oil. You don't need it because the reservoirs and reserves are all full. So a lot of change, Mike, but the Made in America movement I can't say enough about. We tied with John Rich from Big and Rich, the country band. Met John, tied Tim Engel that runs the Red Gold. He's a senior vice president at Red Gold. They have 1,200 employees. They're the largest tomato producer in the world. They're based in Indiana. So anyways, Tim and John Rich tied together to make a brand new Redneck Riviera original 1776 barbecue sauce. Mike, I'm going to send you guys some. We were the first store honored this past Monday to be able to sell it. And it sells for $3.99, great price on it. But he already got public stores, everything. Just a big launch, but I had John on our other show yesterday. But John, they back Folds of Honor. It's what Folds of Honor does is take care of the combat veterans, the men or women that were killed in action, takes care of their families, and gives them an education, grade school to college, and covers it. So John Rich is now part of our team and family, and kind of real neat. So that's been going on, Mike. We got some local interviews yesterday, which was kind of neat, just recognizing we've been around for a decade now, Mike, and just like your show, you've been longer. We've been pushing this Made in America, non-political, not an R&D thing, a common sense thing, and this should be a national agenda, but people are waking up, and it's this pandemic, it's been crazy times, but support local, buy American. We make buying American easy, but I've been pushing like you have. You made December the Small Business Buy Local Month. And it needs to happen because these small businesses in our area, if you took salons and gyms, they closed them down for 3 months back in March, April, May. They opened them at 50% capacity, including the workers. So if you could only hold 20 people in your salon, you could only have 10 people. That includes the workers. Then they closed them before Thanksgiving for 3 weeks here. Then last Friday, they opened them at 25%, but they leave the dentist at 100%. But 25%, you can only have 5 people. And then they just went to 50. They don't realize the stresses they put on these businesses that are trying to make livelihoods and for their employees also. So very tough times. I say we believe in lives and livelihoods, and you got to balance it both through these tough times. But, Mike, the Made in America movement, we're up to almost 250,000 followers on Facebook, and we had 80,000 before the pandemic. So we're doing a great job. You guys, Rich, Larkin, Curtis, and yourself, hats off, Henry. We got to keep this going because it is up to the American consumer now. And I believe Made in America, I still believe, can rebuild that middle class, give people a purpose, and get people working instead of getting free stuff in this country.
And, Mark, working in social services for many years, I can tell you that most people that I have worked with, especially those job seekers or industries that closed and moved overseas, these people don't want to be on any kind of programs or long-term unemployment. They really want to be working.
They want to earn a dollar.
They want to earn a dollar. Now, many of them have graduated from our school systems, and they took out the trade programs. They took all of that away. And so young people graduated. Yes, they got a certificate, a graduation certificate, but they got a diploma, but there's nothing there other than that. And now, for the longest time, what they were telling you is, well, when you graduate high school, then you can go to a trade school. Whereas 30 years ago, 25 years ago, you would do your trade possibilities in your high school. And they got rid of it. They said it was too expensive. It was the expense of taking our industries, shipping them overseas, and just trying to hide the fact that we didn't have those jobs here anymore in the USA. We have, yes.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I was interviewed yesterday by one of the older anchors in Buffalo on TV4 here, and Jackie Walker. Real nice interview. They Zoomed to me. It's kind of weird with the Zoom. But, you know, she didn't know. I said, you know, we started buying products. Our major fair, which we almost have $500,000 in sales between General Welding and Made America, was canceled. So August 1st, I said, I made a decision to start trying to buy products, because if you don't have products, supply chains are in trouble, you're not going to be able to sell. I mean, you can't sell. So we started August 1st. We thought our first orders of our top 20 vendors would be our last order possibly. Like, that's August 1st going, hey, we might only get one shipment. Let's go for it. Well, them vendors been keeping up. And as Jackie asked me why, I said, well, there's no tariffs on Made in America. We're dealing with our own country inside our borders. She goes, you know, I never thought about that. That's the beauty of this Made in America. I mean, we are between our own borders, with borders shut down right now, obviously, and I hope they keep going what Trump had started, and instead of turning it all back over to China, because like you said, you know, if we have a China flag flying, you know, that's a sad thing. And I got something else to talk about in the American Legion magazine you know, a little later in the show.
You know, I have to tell you this. This has been going on for so many years. It's got to come to an end. I do respect President Trump for cutting down the taxes on the businesses, keeping those regulations low. He will go down in the history books as the person who pushed for this vaccine to be done faster. There's a lot of positive things. A new president will be taking office, and we have to remind the new president and all future presidents, many, many future presidents, have to understand that they are elected by the American people to do a job for the American people, and that America must always be placed first. I'll give you an example. Many of the people who support us are in the hospitality industry. We're in historic Philadelphia. Everything is closed. Restaurants, travel, everything. The coronavirus that originated in China has devastated the entire hospitality industry, the restaurants, the industries that supply people with good feelings. The vaccination is going to help people be protected, but it's going to take years to get many levels of the hospitality industry going and getting
years,
back to normal.
Absolutely.
Years. I'm talking maybe.
Especially the travel money.
If we get back to normal by 2023, it will be good. Because I do speak with several of the people in the historic area, and they tell me they at this time of year, it was always a slower time. But normally by February, March, April of every year, and through the summer, bus trips, all kinds of school groups, senior groups, everything. This year was zero. Nobody.
Absolutely.
Nobody was coming. Everybody was in fear. So right now, this vaccine really was moved up because of this program Warp Speed. And, you know, everybody said, oh, it's not good to do this. And I'm very glad that the national health experts have said, no, it's the right thing. We did check it out. We did do a good job. It will help. And, you know, as a first responder, many of us are going to have to get that vaccine because we do work with people and we'll, you know, need to protect ourselves more and also protect the people that we're meeting with. But the hospitality, the traveling with confidence, getting that American-made label, all has to be number one, whether it's this president, President-elect Biden, or any president in the future in 10 or 15 years. We have to make sure that those people only remember who they were elected by. They were not elected by China, Japan, Korea, Vietnam. None of these places added to that. And this, as far as this discussion with free and open economy, that's wonderful. When you have jobs for all of your people, when you have people coming back from the service, being brought back home to the United States to have no jobs, this is a disgrace. This is a disgrace upon the 535 people in Washington, D.C., who are still bickering over helping the American people. Still, it's been months. Every one of them should be put on a diet. I'd like to see how emaciated they would be if they didn't have any food. The way some of our people are suffering, they can't pay their bills. They are not getting proper unemployment and everything else. This is a total disgrace. That is a badge of disgrace for all of those people. I can't wait till this Congress is done. I wish there would be a lot more changes in there, quite frankly. You know, let's turn to Rich Loges. Rich, tell us everything. Give it to us straight.
Good morning, Michael, Mark. Larkin will be joining us soon. And to our audio engineer, Curtis, I know you're out and about. Thank you for your work. And our listeners. Well, I want to just start by saying, Michael, because you mentioned Mark Storr. Mark, I am wearing right now, an Aqua. Do I say that right? An Aqua shirt.
Yep.
Because what I really needed is a shirt not only of high quality, which of course Maine USA is, but I needed something, Mark, to conceal my shotgun. I'm going to start walking around with a shotgun, and I needed something to conceal my shotgun. So this is going to do the trick. It's perfect. I've got my nice navy blue. I feel like I'm on The Price is Right right now. I've got a nice navy blue shirt here, Mark. It's great. It feels great. And Quentin at the store got it shipped out and sent out. And you want to know something? And I mean, Mark, I hope it's on your site, so there's not like I'm revealing any information that's private. But these shirts were $10, Mark.
Yep.
These are $10 shirts, Michael. So, you know, well, Maine America is really expensive. Well, compared to the $80 crappy, you know, made in Bangladesh shirt.
Rich, our jeans are $39.99, and Levi's and Wrangler start at $60.
You're right. I did check all that out. You're absolutely right.
Wrangler is made in, you know, I don't think, and to my knowledge, Wrangler isn't made in most of their jeans. I believe they have a couple individual items, but their whole line is not made here in the U.S. And look, I have nothing against Levi's. I've had them. But right now I'm at about, if I could walk outside only wearing the clothing made in America, I would at least not be exposing myself. I wouldn't have any pants on, but I at least wouldn't be exposing myself. And I'd be wearing sneakers because I got these nice New Balance made in America, Mark, which, excellent. Honestly, you should get a commission for it because before the, and the guys who made the movie, because before that, I had no idea New Balance made
in
America.
Nice sneaker too, yeah.
I love them. They feel great, and they, you know, they last, and they're high quality. And again, in fairness, I've had stuff not made here that's been high, you know, pretty high quality also, right? So it isn't even as much about criticizing, Michael, foreign-made goods. What it's really about is trying to keep this discussion in the affirmative, in the positive, which is really hard for Rich Loges to do because, you know, I'm writing a book called 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat, How to Make America Grown Up Again, and warning sign number 10 is entitled is an expert in subjects he knows nothing about, also known as Albert Gore-itis. And when you mentioned, Michael, about how, you know, people have to speak up, people have to do the core problem, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter, the core problem, I say it time and time again, is really, Mark, how little people know about all of these moving parts that have a direct impact in their lives, right?
Right.
Where items
right.
are made, you know, where items are made, what, you know, what's your government doing, both on the national level, on the state level, on the local level? What is it that they're doing? What are the people who are democratically, lowercase d, democratically elected, what are they doing? And you just find, even after this election, Mark, in a presidential election that will probably wind up being the highest turnout of all time of eligible voting age Americans. That's really the way to look at it, not registered voters. How many there are 255 million voting age Americans, Mark. 255 million. and 155 million of them voted.
Wow.
100 million people sat on their asses and had something better to do than to get into the game. And I sit here and think to myself, self, and I have a Socratic dialogue with myself at 2 o'clock in the morning, Mark. I ask myself, what's it going to take? I mean, 55% came out. That might change a little bit when all is said and done, but it'll be in that 50-something mark. 45%, Michael. Stay home. I mean, did they not see a summer with many of our culturally rich and historic cities set ablaze? We import one foreign worker every minute?
No.
Of every day?
No, they don't.
Do
in
they
fact,
know
Richard,
more,
Richard,
but,
they don't still.
Why don't they? Why don't they, though?
But stay, people have heard you say that, and they don't understand exactly what that is. They said, well, wait a minute. The wall is built. How are we importing one, what's considered to be importing one foreign worker a day? I said, well, there's many.
We could ask both of our major parties, because both of our immigration is singularly the worst bipartisan failure. Like I say all the time, Mark, bipartisan doesn't always mean it's good. It just means two sides were wrong compared to one. So I'm just asking, when I go and ask college graduates, like I've told you guys these stories, I had a recent college grad discussion again. You know, he's full of piss and vinegar, ready to take on the world and conquer the world, Mark. But I asked him, what are you going to do when you're up against the guy who's from the Philippines and the company wants to hire him? Do you want the job, or do you want the guy from the Philippines to get the job? Oh, no, I want to get the job. So you're not really in favor of this stuff. As long as it takes money out of my pocket and not yours, you're okay with it, right? And he says, I never really thought about that, Rich. And I think, Mark, how come he never thought about that? You know why? Because no one ever sat him down and actually showed him how it affects his life. Right, Mark?
Right.
You're right. Richard, that is so important.
Saying,
nobody realizes. There's really, we're watching, we have hundreds of television programs. You know, one thing, but they're all trying to flog one another, flog this one, flog that. There's no one really giving you an education as to what's really going on. My request is still the same, and I get some good responses from people that said, you know, I'm glad that you're focusing on uniting all the people that voted. Let them all start looking at the American-made campaign. Buy American-made campaign. Why, you know, the election is over. The people were for this Trump. The people were for Biden. The election is over. We now have to come together as one. And by the way, through the entire election process, there were many top elected people that worked very, very hard to divide the American people, to make things 10 times worse than they were. And as a result of that, people are divided, but what's going to be the bottom line now that the election and the inauguration will take place? We have to start again from scratch, like the first footstep all over again, because they simply couldn't educate us in the proper way during the election process. They wanted to make us feel that we didn't know anything and we have to do this. No matter how you look at it, guys, people in serving in office, most of them never operated a small business, never had to go to a regular job. They maybe were lawyers or something for a while. Then somebody said, oh, you're so good, I want you to be representing our district, our state in Congress in Washington. They have no idea what it takes to run a small business. They have no idea what it takes to run community groups, to work within communities. They have none. You talk to them and they say, like, well, you know, maybe is that what you do? I said, yes, and we'd like to invite you to come to this particular community event. It's like, well, I don't know. My schedule is so busy. And one politician I caught telling me a lie, I said to him, well, can you come to this particular event? This is over a year ago. And he says, Well, I'll be out on a special meeting for 6 days. And when I questioned his assistant again, right before I wanted him to come out, he says, oh, he went on a trip to Europe. He'll be back in a week. I thought, oh, that's a special meeting. But it's always an excuse. It's always a push-off. All these political people want to do is for you to go away. Goodbye. They don't know you. If they're in office for 4 years, for 3.5 years, they don't remember you. They all of a sudden, 6 months or 8 months before the re-election, all of a sudden they find out who you are. I'm asking all the people who went out and voted this time around, put all that behind you. Start looking out for the benefit of yourself, for your sons and daughters, your sisters and brothers, and your mothers and fathers. Pay attention to America. Make American made first in your life, because it's not going to change unless we make it. We already saw what's been going on in Washington right now. All these months, they've been working on this coronavirus pandemic bill. Why all these months? Because they have no reality of what the general person is going through, what a business owner is going through when his establishment had to be shut down for 6 and 7 or 8 months. They have no idea. It's 9 months now. We're going into the 41st week of this pandemic. They have no idea. Yes, Larkin.
Michael, do you know what they're arguing over?
No.
They're arguing over, first of all, the weekly payments. And please go look this up yourselves, because I have so many numbers floating through my head.
The $300 a week extra on top of the unemployment? Yeah.
Yeah, that's an argument. Give the people more money. B, they're arguing over giving gobs of money to these cities, American cities, who find themselves behind the eight ball because of overspending. Is it overspending on COVID? No. Is it overspending on overspending? Philadelphia has been on the verge of bankruptcy for how long?
Well, but Larkin, you're bringing up a wonderful subject, and I'm going to ask you an opinion. In the state of Pennsylvania, we have to have a balanced budget. Why can't every state, why can't every city, and why can't the federal government have a balanced budget amendment every year? Only in case of an emergency, which is the coronavirus, is an extreme emergency, because it took away our schools, people going live to schools. It cost an enormous amount of money to get all that going, to get computers into the hands of all the boys and girls. That just didn't all of a sudden snap and those computers arrived and woo! That all cost money. That all costs money. These politicians don't know what it's all about. If a person is not able to go to work, how are they going to pay their expenses? And what is the reason they're not able to go to work? Coronavirus, which originated in China. I say that, but I also will clarify this. If China had told us in August and in September that there was a virus, we would not have this problem in late November and December and January. But because they don't communicate with the world, they figured, oh, well, it'll blow over and, you know, that's the way it goes. If they had been honest with the American people, we would not have this problem. We're suffering through this.
And what they don't understand, and Giuliani is one of the, not Giuliani, Cuomo is one of the famous ones that doesn't understand it, is that there's an enormous amount of revenue collected from small businesses related to their activity. If you close them down, then they don't get any revenue. There's no revenue coming into New York City now. Not only are they paying out money they don't have, they're not collecting any money.
Well, you're right, Larkin.
And therein lies why Mark's comment about Cuomo's edict at hair salons and the like. I think there were five categories headed by a hair salon. And when he brought it up to me, I searched it out, and I went, my God in heaven, it's true. He killed and closed all the businesses that don't provide revenue for this for the state anyway. I mean,
beautiful.
That's, and Biden's thinking of making him attorney general. Okie dokie.
Well, you know, the main thing is
run New York.
You know, the main thing is, as I listen to these people trying to defend themselves, I think to myself of, you know, the boy in a bubble. These people are living in a bubble because they don't understand what it is like to live outside of those mansions and those state capitals. They don't understand. They should go to the streets of the cities and walk the streets. They should have. They should go and be a social worker for a day and a fireman for another day and maybe a policeman for the next to learn what it is like to be a person within the system of making the government and making the city work. These people don't know what it is. They've never run a small business. They have no idea. When people say different things to me, responses, I immediately try to hold back. I'm not too much of a hold back. Unfortunately, I'm trying very hard to hold back on a lot of things that I say. But sometimes I have to attack. When they say, well, do you think that's really necessary? I said, a child going to school and having friends is the number one thing. That's how young people learn communication skills. Oh, well, you know, a second grader can do it, you know, Zoom and blah, blah, blah. They have no idea what they're talking about. None whatsoever. And Fauci and all made it very clear that children can go to school. They can do social distancing. They don't communicate. The hierarchy in many of these school districts and all don't communicate with the people. The parents are not communicating. It's become a very non-communicative society because you're watching too much on phones, on televisions, and things like that. You're not paying attention to being friends. You've lost that communication skill. And that's the same thing that happened with all these governors and all that live in a bubble. They have no idea. When a business closes and loses its following, how do you get that back after 10 months or a year? Larkin, you've been in a business. How do you all of a sudden get that goodwill back? Well, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I agree. The beauty of this circumstance, as far as small businesses are concerned, is if you close one restaurant, you close them all. So if you close a restaurant because it has to be scrubbed down or rebuilt or whatever, you have to struggle to get that business back because there are a gazillion opportunities for your customer to go someplace else and change his or her buying habits. But in the case of a pandemic like this, everybody's closed. So let's hope when they open it back up that the customers go back to where their dedications were because they didn't get a chance to switch to another brand or another restaurant.
Well, another thing, Larkin, that's going to hurt, and I'll be very honest with people, and I plead with everybody, when the pandemic is over, please go back to shopping local. And I'll tell you why. Because right now with the pandemic, many people went to shopping online exclusively. There are people who've told me they haven't been out to buy to a store in 2 months other than food. And I think to myself, wow, that's unfortunate. I don't say to them, if they're listening, God bless them. They'll know who they are. But the main thing is, please go back to your shopping habits because we're promoting American-made, not individuals. American-made represents all of us. It represents the jobs of our family and friends. And American-made does not mean just making something in an industry. It means managing, purchasing supplies, advertising, shipping. It's a dozen and one jobs to make a product in America. It all of a sudden just doesn't show up like, whoa, here's a pair of jeans, or here is, you know, a shirt, the aqua shirt that Rich got. It takes people to order it, to stock it, to ship it. There's a tremendous amount of jobs. Now, I want to add just one thing. Today, why I'm very disturbed with what's been happening over the last few years is they got it to a science now, coming from overseas, an entire container. Before, they used to come, and Larkin, you would remember this, they used to come to the ports. At the ports and warehouses, they would then sort of divvy it up and ship it out on trucks to different outlets that bought different products. It was one container of this particular product. Today, they've got it to a science where, say, Larkin's store on the Roosevelt Boulevard orders 5, 6, 7 types of items. In China or another country, they put all that into one container and it's shipped right off the ship to the store. There's no in-between people anymore. So it killed a lot of our jobs.
Mike, I want to add a couple things. Larkin, you touched on a restaurant. My good friend owns a restaurant. A few of them here having troubles, but the one, I allow them to bring food to my guys every Thursday now just to try to help them out. I was talking to them last week with this shutdowns. Of course, you shut down 3 months and got to reopen, went to just takeout only. That worked good the first run, and then they got to reopen a little bit, and now it got colder in Buffalo. Of course, he's only a few miles from me. He's got a food truck which was shut down. But then the gift cards, nobody bought any gift cards because they don't know if he's going to be around. So he lost about $10,000 in sales in gift cards. Nobody bought any. Then he lost about $500,000 in sales for his catering because there's no Christmas parties. There's no events this year, none. And last week he was even selling some equipment, restaurant equipment, doing pretty good. But, well, now the market's flooded. That's gone. Now the takeouts, this time he's closed down. The takeouts didn't come back around. The people just aren't supporting like they were. They're not. He's not sure why. They don't feel they need to. So very tough on restaurants and just the stuff, these food trucks closed. We're going to see such a fallout on restaurants. And I want to bring up one other thing. I was going to our bathroom here at General. My brother had the American Legion, his magazine, and Veterans Strength in American. So it's the December issue. On the front, it says China and the supply chain. Well, I'll tell you, it starts, this article is like 7 pages. Chain reaction, the pandemic has America and the world rethinking their economic dependency on China. One interesting part of this article, it's a great article, Mike, I'm going to copy to try to send it around to all of you, but it says America, you know, Enterprise, the Institute scholars went through this, and not only did they, you know, did the pandemic start in China, but they bought up the much of the stockpiles, such as gear like the N95 masks, procured nearly 2.5 billion pieces of anti-epidemic equipment for COVID-19 when it swept the globe. But then they resold it at 3,000% markup.
Yeah.
You know, China, this article goes on and on about the supply chain, how we account for 70, China accounts for 73% of Microsoft, Rich, 60% of Dells and HPs, and nearly 50% of IBMs. And this is what our federal government uses for their top information technology suppliers. It's crazy, but it's a great article. I'm glad it's out. Mike, I'll get it around to you.
Well, you know, Mark, you just brought something to my mind, which I had quite a conversation with someone. Please do get that article, and I'll ask Henry to email it around.
He bought them all the supplies and resold them as the people needed them.
Absolutely. And they know how to do it. They have networking going on within their own system. You know, China invested so many trillions and trillions of dollars. For years, this has been going on. This is nothing brand new. In fact, if you remember, they even bought up Rockefeller Plaza there. Do you remember that? And there was so much controversy, they sold it back just to get rid of the controversy. But they come in, and investors come in from foreign countries. They buy 40, 50% of the stock, And then all of a sudden they become controlling members of the board. And, oh, well, we want to bring this stuff in from China, from another country. Well, they're major investors. How do you argue with major investors? Our thing is that we have to focus on what's here in the USA. You know, and we're not going to be able to get these jobs back if we don't start focusing on them right now. The president, Mike, that's wonderful. He's in Washington and the governors and all. But the people that go out to shop, the day-to-day American, like all of us, are the people who can make a difference. A product could be on the shelf, Mark, and if nobody's buying it, nobody's going to keep sending it to America for sale.
Absolutely. Mike, my favorite shirt, because China's a long drive to work, right? It might not be such a long drive to work if the flag's flying here.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. Well, they own our pork industry. They virtually own.
Oh, yeah.
They own Smithfield. They own everything.
They own. They quietly invested. Now, you mentioned about all these computers being made over the world, all over in China, instead of in the various countries. I did have a major discussion with somebody, and they said to me, well, you know, we don't have enough people in the United States to make the number of computers and all that the United States people are buying, and people all over the world. So I said, okay.
How many people are on welfare?
So I said to him, well, how about we then make just the computers that would be sold in America, made in America? And if they needed computers just for China, have them made in China. And for Europe, made in a European country. Let's move it around. Oh, then the Chinese people would be unemployed. Oh, no problem about Americans unemployed. The hell with you. Chinese. See, the Chinese government.
I want the rich logis in charge of making the computers.
Oh, Rich, let me tell you something. Some of these discussions, 2021, I'm going to be very open and vocal about everything. And that's what I want everybody to put it on the line. I mean, we are the people who spend the money in this country. The politicians spend our tax dollars and put us into debt to $27 trillion. And now they're bickering about a $1 trillion aid package to the American people. What a total disgrace. Every one of them should be marched up there, and Rich Logis and I and all of us would go over there and give them a piece of our mind. Believe me,
Michael,
and I would love to do it. Yes.
Everyone has to keep in mind, based on what we have been told thus far is the plan, of course, that could change. But I doubt it will. But what we have been told as far as the plan is that we, right now, with however many millions of Americans out of work, having cumulatively lost work, lost businesses, etc., the plan that we have been told, Michael, is the intent is to import more people to work here.
Okay, well, that should be the first thing that should be addressed.
That's going to happen. I'm not putting a tinfoil hat on. My tinfoil hat is over at the dry cleaner, along with my miter hat, Mark. Okay, that I walk around quoting the Book of Deuteronomy. That's what the plan is, Mike. That's what they've told us they're intending to do. It just got through the Senate. This is one little section of immigration, but there's just one little section that just got through the U.S. Senate. Not a singular senator, Barkin, out of 100. Not a singular one said, wait a minute. Should we have maybe at least a discussion about whether we actually want to increase importing more, Barkin? Not one.
Okay, well,
not
Rich,
one.
here is the biggest thing. How about we then start to ask the 535 people in Congress and our president and our vice president to bring this as their theme for 2021 and beyond. All working age and able-bodied Americans first. Everybody else,
Michael,
on the back burner.
Keep saying it. You can keep saying it has been said. And again, not that the president has been you know, Sarah Blackwell, when she was on, pointed this out, right? No one does anything perfectly. It's, you know, complex policy issues, but having said all that, you know, it's not really perfection we're seeking, but we're seeking a significant advantage. And that's why I always say that the pathway to a young American's heart and soul and mind is through his wallet. And all of those college grads or soon-to-be college grads, whether it's a bachelor's or whatever it is, or a master's or something else, or they're going to go up against more competition internationally than they've ever had to face. And here's the really sad irony about it, Mark, about those young college grads and those young Americans having to go up against more competition than ever before. You know what the sad reality is? They actually voted for that and had no idea that they were doing it. Ain't that something, Mark? Man, ain't that something? Ain't that democracy something?
You know, Rich, you know, you're saying something. Maybe we should make that a part of our 2021 theme. Jobs for all working age and able-bodied Americans first. I think that's a good theme, because we're not going to wise the people up in Washington, but we certainly can wise up the people running the stores as they see the American people are going to buy American made first. That's a big thing. If they see that the American made label is moving faster than an imported product label, they're going to say, well, if we want to make the business and make the money and make the profits, we then have to focus on more American made. This is what we've been preaching for years, but there have been major stores, and I found it again with this December edition of Small Business Month. A lot of businesses are, in the big businesses, I should say, are against it. We have malls who are against the idea, but the stores within the mall like the idea. It's hard to believe that this is what we're up against in this country, where people are just saying, you know, like, we can't be one. You know, the mall people should be happy, because every one of the people renting the stores, except a couple of major stores, the anchor stores, are small businesses. They should be doing it, but they don't want it. They want the anchor stores to be number one and the small businesses just to be window dressing. It's not good for us. It hasn't been good for us. The leadership in the country for the last 35 years, I don't care who the president was or Speaker of the House and the Senate, it doesn't matter. They disappointed America and Americans, period. Larkin, we're getting close to that time. Let me hear what you have to say. We're getting 9 days away from Christmas. Here we are on this Wednesday, the 16th of 2020. We're days away from the year's end. And pray God, everybody is telling me, Michael, I'm hoping that 2021 is going to be good. And that's what I want. And I'm asking all of you to please, as you're going out during these last 9 days of shopping, please look at the labels. Educate yourself as to what is going on around you, what these big businesses have been putting upon you. They've been putting all these nice stacks of jeans and everything else, shirts and whatever. When you look at the labels, where is America? Where are the jobs for all working age and able-bodied Americans? Where are they at? Whether they make them, sell them, package them, advertise them, ship them, whatever. Where are their jobs in this process? And did we do it, you and I? No. It's the leadership. I just hope and pray that all presidents in the future will keep taxes low and keep regulations high on foreign stuff coming to this country. Not regulations that we don't need. I'm talking about the stuff coming over here. Everything should have a tariff on it. Every time I went to Europe, there was a value-added tax on most of the stuff, or I should say all of the stuff that came from foreign countries, because they wanted you to buy, just like you have no tariff on American-made. And when you go to Europe, the value-added tax is always on foreign goods, not on goods made in the country you're visiting. Very interesting point. And I think that we have to continue what President Trump did. And I hope that President Biden and all presidents after that will follow that idea. Make sure Americans always benefit first. And secondly, start to take down that those trillions and trillions of dollars that we are in debt for. Because my children and grandchildren, your children, grandchildren, family, and friends should definitely not be held accountable for the debts created because people in Washington for years and years did not do their job. Okay, it's getting to that time. Larkin, what do you have to say on this Wednesday, the 16th of December, 9 days before Christmas?
I kind of never thought I'd say this, and I have to give it a lot of thought. But I oftentimes want to give advice to President Donald Trump. I was telling Rich the other day, I think Trump accomplished a lot. A lot of it will never show in the statutes, and a lot of it will never show in the way the processes are conducted in this country. He came to D.C. and he shook it up. He really did. And if he had had just a little less ego and could have controlled that, he could have been the best president we've ever had in the history of the country. He did a lot of good things.
Okay.
But I got some advice for him. He needs to sneak out now. He needs to load his valise and pack his bags and sneak out the back door, get on a bus, and go home.
Good advice, Larkin. Very good advice.
It's over.
The party is over, but we're going to have to now hold the next president and the next president after that accountable for doing a good job. Mark, what do you have to say?
No, I just think, we got, like you said, 9 days left. Buying American, doing your part for our listeners is really working, and I appreciate it. We just got to keep that going and keep the drive alive, Mike.
Keep believing. Click on that link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, the Made in America store. Rich, what is your advice on this nine days before Christmas?
For everyone doing their shopping, easy goal, Mark. Just find one gift made in America. Just one.
Very good. Oh.
Get it. Just
Rich, that's perfect. Just find one gift made in America. And I'm not talking about food or anything. I'm talking about dry goods or something, a shirt or whatever. You'll be very surprised what the hell is going on. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting National Small Business Month. Thank you for supporting our efforts. Make sure you speak up to all of your family members and friends and invite them to check out our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, may God bless you and may God bless America.
Have a great week,
everyone.